I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together, we're Roman Oz. Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out. AllAussieRadio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we're in Hilston.
Yes, we are.
We kicked the show off in Hilston. Remember last week we spoke to Malachi Quinn?
Yes, that's right, from the Campbelltown Joggers.
The Campbelltown Joggers riding cycles, not jogging. Well, we're still in Hilston for the start of the program, and we're actually going to tell everybody about this sensational Lachlan River Walking Trail.
Yes, we wander around there and spend some time looking at the natural habitat and hear the birds and everything.
Speak about hear the birds, listeners. I've got to tell you, you might need, if you do it on a day similar to us, you might need a set of earmuffs.
They were quite noisy.
It was deafening, but what a sensational walk. I think it's about 1.2 kilometres.
Yep.
Took us about 25 minutes, I suppose.
Yeah, nice gentle trail.
Just nice gentle stroll around, beautiful ambience, and lots to see and do on that, okay? So that is at the Desathlon Park.
Yes.
In Hilston.
Yes, in Hilston. Nice and little town too.
It's the swing bridge, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so we kick off with that. And then from there, Lynn?
We head to Yeovil, actually, and we meet Alf Cantrell at the Banjo Paterson Museum.
Now, what a sensational guy Alf is.
Yes.
Wow, what a wealth of information.
And a man of many hats.
Many hats. Talk about hats. I mean, there's a statue. Or it's not actually a statue. It's a guy in a wheelchair.
Yes.
But not a real guy. It's like a scarecrow in a wheelchair. And I thought it was a real gentleman sitting there because it was raining when we got there. And I mentioned that to Alf and he said, no.
That's Clancy.
No.
Oh, isn't it?
Andy. And he sang and he waltzed as he sat there with his big Cobra hat on.
Yes.
So, we spoke about that. He also runs a sensational cafe, doesn't he?
Yes, Clancy's Cafe.
Yep. Very, very reasonably priced.
Yes.
Fantastic hamburgers. And he also runs the accommodation, the showground.
The showground.
Now that, from a woman's point of view, tell us about that showground.
Oh, well, it's great. Place to park up, power water. There's toilets and showers.
Absolutely immaculate, yes. The toilet and showers. That's why I asked for the ladies' point of view. It's you got your own personal little room.
Yes, you have.
Okay,
which is great.
And good value for money as well. Absolutely brilliant. Now, after that, we are in Dubbo.
Yes, we are.
And I'm going to be telling the people about a few things that they should see and do if they're in Dubbo.
Yes. One thing's the Dubbo Jail.
Well, one thing is the Dubbo Jail. Now, most people think of Dubbo, they straight away think of the zoo, don't they? Now, the zoo is great. We've done it.
Yes, we have. Just don't do it on a hot day.
Don't do it on a hot day. Take your own car. And if you've got a little fridge in the back, you'll save a squillion dollars.
Yes.
Because the zoo is brilliant. But seriously, when you get in there, everything's quite expensive, isn't it? We have to tell the listeners that.
It is everywhere.
I mean, I had a fridge in the back of the truck and we saved so much money because we had ice creams and all sorts of stuff. So if you're going to go to the zoo, folks, Dubbo Zoo, it's great, but be mindful, it can cost a little bit once you get in there for your own personal refreshments. And then that's about it for the show.
Yes, it is.
Now, before we start the show, though, I want to kick off with a song. We've got some great songs. We've got some great requests on this one. We wanted to play some music by Johnny Williamson, a couple of songs by him.
Right.
Home Among the Gum Trees and also Bound for Botany Bay.
Talking
about the Dubbo Jail there.
Yes, yep.
And we've also got a couple of songs by Graham Connors.
Right.
And we've also got a song by Slim Dusty.
Right. Walk a Country Mile.
And we play that for Alf Cantrell.
Right.
Who absolutely adores Slim Dusty and his music. So we're going to kick the show off with A Little Further North.
Oh, okay.
Now, that is a song by Graham Connors. And I've got to tell you, listeners, Graham Connors, if you've not heard of him, he's recognised as one of Australia's most eclectic country singer-songwriters.
Okay.
Absolutely brilliant, brilliant stuff. So apart from all these fabulous interviews and great songs, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you think? On with the show.
Sun sinks behind me in the west. This is the time of day I love best. Salt breezes murmur through the coconut palm as the colors change and set a scene of tropic calm. Seagulls heading back to land over the mangroves and the salt pan, by a lazy creek with a six-pack and a fishing line, winning back some memories and losing track of time. I head a little further north each year, leave the cities behind, out of sight, out of mind. Oh, where my troubles can all disappear, I head a little further north each year. Feeling the night wrap around me, my mind in serenity. Ocean waves are humming on the outer reef. These balmy nights and sultry days are a welcome relief. I head a little further north each year, leave the city side out of mind. Whoa, up where my troubles can all disappear, I head a little further north each year. I head a little further north each year, taking my mind
Phil C here, listeners, and we're in Hillston. Is that right, Lynn?
That's correct, Phil.
And we're at the Desathlon Park, which is along the Lachlan River Walking Trail. So what I want you to do if you come and have a look at this is enjoy the distinctive surroundings along the banks of the Lachlan River as it meanders through this part of Hillston, New South Wales. The Lachlan River Walking Trail is a circular route of 1,200 metres and starts as you cross the river from town via the Swing Bridge.
The bridge was initially constructed in 1993 as a local community project and has allowed both locals and visitors easy access to various parts of the Lachlan Riverside. The bridge was refurbished in 2019 as part of the Walking Trail project.
The park has been used for various recreational purposes since 1935. Now there have been family gatherings and events held in these surroundings over the past 80 years.
In the early 1990s, two local Hillston stalwarts, Des Shivers and Athol Palmer, were the driving force of the development of the picnic area, and then was named Desathlon Park, named after them.
Okay, so Des and Athlol carved large-scale fantasy figures such as dragons and spiders from the local river Red Gum, which surrounds along the trail.
These figures were painted in vivid bright colours and were the source of many a ghost story at twilight picnics alongside the river. The figures, along with the earlier bridge and swimming baths, have not survived the ravages of time and floods, but are incorporated for prosperity in the interpretive panels located along the walking trail.
So there you go, listeners, something to see if you're in Hillston. And as you can hear in the background, there are hundreds of corellas flying overhead. It's a nice place to bring the dog and just have a meander along the famous Lachlan River. So for anybody that's interested in fishing, swimming amongst the snags and deep holes of the Lachlan River in Hillston is the yellowbelly. Now that's a medium-sized yellow or gold-coloured fish found throughout the Murray-Darling River system.
The yellowbelly grows from 40 to 50 centimetres long, weighing in at around 4 to 5 kilos.
Now yellowbelly are carnivorous, okay, so they feed on smaller fish and microcrustaceans including yabbies, shrimps, frogs, small fish and aquatic invertebrates.
The yellowbelly is sometimes regarded as a moody fish by anglers, possibly due to its reluctance or even indifference of taking offered bait from the angler's hook. Maybe moody should be changed to smart.
Absolutely. Now, yellowbelly happily continue to trend of many native fish in the Murray-Darling system of being well long-lived. This longevity is a survival strategy in the increasing, though, Australian river environment, which ensures that most adults can participate in at least one exceptional spawning and recruitment event. Luckily, yellowbellies. These events are often linked to unusually wee La Nina events and may only occur every one or two decades. So you would have heard that plane flying overhead, folks, I'm sure, as well as all those corellas. As I said before, there's hundreds of them just circling above us and sitting in the branches above the beautiful trees along this walkway.
The sacred kingfisher, frequently seen along the banks of the Lachlan River, is the sacred kingfisher. She is 19 to 23 centimetres long, has a turquoise back, a turquoise blue rump and a tall buff white underpants with a broad cream collar.
Now, contrary to her name, she seldom eats fish but usually hunts insects, small lizards, rodents, ground-dwelling beetles, and there are even a few reports of them eating small finches.
Usually the bird will sit on a low red gum branch and wait for prey to pass by. She swoops down to grab the prey and returns to a perch to eat.
Originally from the Western Pacific, the sacred kingfisher is called sacred for she was said to be a holy bird for Polynesians who believed her to have control over the waves of the ocean.
For most of the year, sacred kingfishers are mainly solitary, pairing only for the breeding season. Once a pair has mated, both members of the pair dig the nest, a burrow in a riverbank. A large empty branch or a termite mound by prime examples. The female lays about 5 eggs and both birds incubate the eggs and take care of the young.
The sacred kingfisher is an attractive member of the birdlife family who live along the Lachlan River here in Hillston. Pelicans are frequent visitors, sometimes even long-term residents of the Lachlan River here in Hillston. Pelicans are highly mobile, searching out suitable areas of water and an adequate supply of food. Pelicans can maintain in their air for 24 hours, capable of covering hundreds of kilometres.
Pelicans mainly eat fish here on the Lachlan, but they are opportunistic feeders and eat a variety of aquatic animals, including crustaceans, tadpoles and turtles. They readily accept handouts from humans and a number of unusual items have been recorded in their diet. During periods of drought and extreme conditions, pelicans have been reported catching and eating other birds and ducklings. The birds are held underwater and drowned before being eaten headfirst. Pelicans will also rob other birds of their prey. They are tough critters.
On a softer note though, a pelican with romance on his mind is a sight to behold. He always has his bill from side to side and ripples his bill pouch as he tries to impress the subject of his affection. Eventually, he will share the incubation of the eggs on a nest consisting of a few sticks scraped together on exposed ground. Whilst food is abundant and the weather is right, pelicans will continue to breed and raise the next generations of these spectacular birds.
Male pelicans are larger than females. The most characteristic feature of pelicans is the elongated bill with its massive throat pouch. The pelican's bill is 40 to 50 centimetres long and is larger in males than females. The pelican is a welcome visitor here in Hillston, providing an almost comic backdrop as they calmly go about their business on the Lachlan River.
Now, having what we've said about the kingfisher and the pelican, I should point out that along this walk so far we've not spotted either. All we seem to be surrounded with is hundreds of corellas. Now, the goanna is a member of the monitor lizard family and is a common sight around this area. He's a large lizard and can reach up to 2 metres or 7 feet in total length and weigh as much as 14 kilograms or 30 pounds in the old scale in weight. Even though being on the large side of the reptile family, goannas are adept climbers, both in the hunt for feed or to escape potential dangers such as inquisitive walkers. An interesting feature of this impressive reptile is that he is only lizard to have a forked tongue.
Goannas are usually dark grey to dull bluish black in colour with numerous scattered cream coloured spots. The head is black and the snout is marked with prominent black and yellow bands extending under the chin and neck. The tail has narrow black and cream bands which are narrow and get wider towards the end of the tail.
Goannas, like the ecosystem of the Lachlan River Walk, trail and often shelter in trees and hollows and under fallen trees or large rocks. The goanna has a broad and varied diet, which includes birds, insects, bird eggs, reptiles and small mammals. They will readily feed on carrion, including roadkills, gorging themselves when the opportunity arises. After a large feast, they are able to go for many weeks without feeding again.
Even though the goanna is an imposing critter, he prefers to run away from danger, usually quickly up a tree, and doesn't present any danger to curious walkers. However, their eyesight isn't that great and they have been known to mistake curious humans for trees and have attempted to climb them for safety, which can be painful and distressing for all.
Absolutely, folks. So if you do see a goanna, don't startle it. Just let it go about its business, and if you leave him alone, he's going to leave you alone.
Often seen as the yellow rosella among the river red gum foliage here on the Lachlan River. The colours are predominantly yellow with blue cheeks, a mainly blue tail, many blue wing feathers and a bright red frontal band above her beak. She grows to around 35 centimetres in length.
Her dietary needs are simple and usually found amongst the red gum foliage, and she doesn't often venture down on the ground to feed, unlike other rosellas.
Despite feeding on fruits and seeds, rosellas are not useful to the plants as seed spreaders because they crush and destroy the seeds in the process of eating them. Their diet often puts them at odds with our farmers whose fruit and grain harvest can be damaged by the birds, which has resulted in a large number of rosellas being shot in the past. Rosellas will also eat many insects and their larvae, including termites, aphids, beetles, weevils, caterpillars, moths and water boatmen.
Now, from a breeding perspective, the yellow rosella extends her favours not only to other yellow rosellas in the district, she often readily interbreeds with other rosellas such as the crimson rosella wherever they may meet.
One of the other creatures in the area is the shingleback lizard or bog eye. He's a common sight here. He's a short-tailed, slow-moving version of the blue-tongued skink. The bog eye has a heavily armoured body and can be found in various colours ranging from dark brown to cream.
He has a short, wide, stumpy tail and resembles its head and may confuse predators. The tail also contains fat reserves which are known upon during the hibernation in winter. The skink is an omnivore. He eats snails and plants and spends much of his time browsing through vegetation for food. He's often seen sunning on roadsides or our other paved areas.
Sometimes he dares to cross busy roads thinking his heavy armour will protect him from predators. Sadly, he sometimes loses out to fast-moving cars.
So look out for our local bog-eyed lizard. He does a wonderful job in our local ecosystem and we like him being around. Now, one thing to enjoy is the shade of the River Red Gums as you move along the Lachlan River walking trail here in Hillston. The dominant tree species is along this part of the Lachlan River floodplain. It's the mighty River Red Gum, or eucalypt.
River Red Gum is a common and widespread tree along watercourses over much of mainland Australia. It is frequently a dominant component to riparian communities, is an iconic and important species for the Murray-Darling catchment, both ecologically and economically.
Eucalyptus camaldolensis is a perennial, single-stemmed, large bulb, medium-sized to tall tree to 30 metres tall, with some trees being recorded up to a lofty 45 metres. Some of these tree giants can live up to 500 years or sometimes up to as long as 1,000 years, Lenny.
River Red Gum forests are historically and culturally important to the traditional owners. The bark of the River Red Gum trees are often used for making canoes and shields and other artefacts.
River Red Gum is a versatile, durable and dense hardwood that is used for fencing, house construction, making furniture, decking and flooring because of its beautiful light to red dark heartwood. It is also excellent firewood. In fact, many Hillston locals believe that there isn't anything finer than forest red gum to keep the winter chill at bay.
Eucalyptus grow readily along the rivers of the Murray-Darling Basin, and as they do so well here in Hillston, they provide shade and cooling for all.
Another one for the anglers, Linny. In this particular river is the large Murray cod. He's a predatory fish which hangs around the outback rivers such as this Lachlan River here in Hillston. He's the apex predator, which means he's the big boss of the Murray River-Darling River system.
The Murray cod are white to cream in colour on their belly surfaces. Their backs and flanks are usually yellowish-green to green, overlain with heavier, darker green mottling. The effect is a marbled appearance, sometimes resembling a leopard's marking.
The Murray cod is a long-lived fish and has been recorded at 48 years of age. He mainly eats other fish and can measure up to 1.8 metres in length, but usually reaches around 80 centimetres to 100 centimetres. Top weight of the Murray cod is recorded at a whopping 113 kilograms. There is an urban myth that many Murray cod once grew to such a size that they couldn't be turned around in their rivers and had to wait for a flood event to swim back downstream to breed.
Being the boss fish of the river system means the Murray cod will eat almost anything smaller than himself and anything in his way. He has been known to eat ducks, cormorants, turtles, water dragons, snakes, mice and frogs. This is apart from his usual diet of all things fishy. He also helps out our riverine ecosystem by even chowing down on the dreaded European carp.
Now, the Murray cod was once the most common large native fish in Australia. Sadly, overfishing in the early 1900s saw rapid declines in fish members which have never fully recovered. For example, in 1918, over 1 million kilograms of fish was caught and sent to the Melbourne markets alone. Gradually, fish numbers diminished until governments introduced protective measures to ensure the Murray cod's survival. There are now stringent controls on legal size, bag limits, as well as fingerling release programs across the whole Murray-Darling Basin.
River Cooba, a common tree species along this part of the Lachlan River floodplain, is the River Cooba or Acacia stenophyllia. River Cooba is a frequent part of watercourse fringing vegetation in inland arid areas of eastern Australia, such as here in Hillston along the Lachlan River. A small tree with a somewhat weeping habit, it is tolerant of saline, alkaline and waterlogged soils and survives periodic flooding.
The River Cooba has a creamy yellow flowers and are often a feature of this part of the floodplain during the winter months. Pods of the River Cooba were often roasted in a fire and the seeds, which are relatively large and nourishing, were eaten by the traditional owners, the Wiradjuri. The woods is likely to have been used for clubs and boomerangs.
River Cooba was used for fencing during the early development of the Hillston area, but is currently little used as a structural timber species. However, the timber is considered to have a great potential in the craft wood and specialty timber markets. Woodworkers prize the timber for its hard, close grain, which takes fine polish and is useful for handmade furniture making.
River Cooba is an important part of our riparian ecosystem and is increasingly used elsewhere for windbreaks, shelter, shade, mine site rehabilitation and soil stabilisation purposes.
Enjoy the shade and sometimes blossoms of the River Cooper as you move along the Lachlan River Walking Trail here in Hillston.
Oh, listeners, as I look up into the sky, I said hundreds, it looks like thousands flying above us. And what a din, what a sound. Absolutely incredible. Flying in formation. Now, as that flock of corellas disappear into the distance, the sound above our head was almost deafening. Entrance and exit points of the walk is via the Hillston Swing Bridge, which was constructed in 1993. Now, give yourselves a good half an hour. It's only 1,200 metres, just over a kilometre. There's a lot to read on the walk, and also just enjoy and take in the ambience of the walk. Pets are allowed, so your little four-legged fur baby is more than welcome to go along with you and just enjoy the whole place, the river. And of course, those screaming, yelling corellas. This is Phil C, listeners.
And Lynn.
And we are still roaming Oz. Well, before we continue roaming Oz, listeners, we have to put a song up now. What do you think we should play, Lynn?
Oh, I don't know. What about Something Among the Gum Trees? Well, who's that?
Johnny Williamson, Home Among the Gum Trees.
It, yes.
All right, stick around for that, listeners, and we'll be back with more roaming Oz.
Sing it for Steve now. I've been around the world a couple of times or maybe more. Seen the sights, I've had delights on every foreign shore. But when my mates all ask me the place that I adore, I tell them right away. What do we tell them? Give me a home among the gum trees with lots of plum trees. A sheep, a tuik, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. You can see me in the kitchen cooking up a roast, or Vegemite on toast. Just you and me, a cup of tea, later on we'll settle down and go out on the porch and watch the possums play. Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of plum trees. A sheep, a tuik, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. There's a Safeway's up the corner and a Woolies down the street, and a brand new place they've opened up and they regulate the heat. But I trade them all tomorrow for a little bush retreat with the kookaburras call. Give me a home among the gum trees with lots of plum trees. A sheep, a tuik, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. Some people like their houses with fences all around. Others live in mansions and some beneath the ground. But me, I like the bush, you know, with rabbits running round and a pumpkin vine out the back. By yourselves now. Give me a home among the gum trees with lots of plum trees. A sheep, a tuik, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair.
One more for Steve.
A plum tree, a sheep, a tuik, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair.
Oh, well, there you go, listeners. Without a doubt, one of my most favourite singers, Mr. Johnny Williamson, and a great song, Home Among the Gum Trees.
Hello, listeners. Phil C here, and I'm in Yeovil. And we are at the Banjo Paterson Museum with Alf Cantrell. Now, Alf is the curator of the museum. How are you, Alf?
Going extremely well, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us today, my friend.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. It is. It's a pleasure for us to be here. Now, we were here about two, three years ago, and I spent about 4 hours in this wonderful museum. Tell us all about the museum for the listeners that haven't been to Yeovil before.
The Banjo Paterson Museum is located in Yeovil because this is where Banjo Paterson spent his childhood,
right,
in Yeovil, which in those days was called Buckenbach.
Okay.
And every town needs something, small village or town, to attract people to come to it so they don't die, to keep the cash flow going through the main street.
Okay.
We only have about 4 shops in the main street and we have a lot of through traffic. But pull them up and slow them down, what can we do? So we opened a museum for Banjo Paterson.
Okay. So what would the population of Yeovil be? Because it is a small town, you said.
About 260.
About 260, okay. Okay. And so how long have you been the curator?
Since it opened, that's 7 years.
Okay. Rightio. And all the exhibits in here, did you put these together? Were a lot of things donated by local people?
Quite a few things were donated, not necessarily by locals,
mm-hmm,
but the majority of them I either had or we have purchased since we opened.
Okay. Okay. Now, I understand, because we were here about 2 or 3 years ago, you got a brand new bronze statue out the front, is that correct?
Yes,
at Banjo Paterson?
We do have a new bronze statue. It was unveiled only 2 weeks ago.
Okay, 2 weeks ago. Incredible. Now, what about this hat across the road? Because the day I pulled up, it was raining, and I saw this fellow, which I thought was a fellow sitting in a wheelchair in the rain. It's actually meant to be Banjo sitting there with a pipe in his mouth.
It's the Swagman.
Okay, all right.
It's the Swagman, Andy. Andy sang as he watched Andy waited till his billy bull. It's
Andy. Ah, okay.
Well, he's under the big Cobra Banjo Paterson hat.
He is indeed. I saw the hat as we were driving to the museum, and it was raining slightly, and from a distance I actually thought it was a real person in the wheelchair getting wet.
He doesn't talk a lot.
No.
Gosh, he's a good listener.
He's a hell of a good listener. I agree with that. So for people who come to the museum, I was here, as I said, a couple of years ago, and I spent at least 3 or 4 hours in there. What do you think the minimum time would be?
Minimum time would probably be an hour.
Okay.
The people spend in there. Some people come back tomorrow,
mm-hmm,
and spend more time in there, those that are more deeply interested in Banjo Paterson.
Yeah.
The majority of people are amazed at the fact that he did so many things in his lifetime. He's known as the author of Waltzing Matilda,
right,
and the author of The Man from Snowy River and Clancy the Overflow. And to most people, that's the end of the Banjo Paterson story. But of course, he did so many things in his lifetime, from being a winning jockey in Sydney to working with horse-drawn ambulances on the Western Front during the First World War.
Yes, yes.
To being the assistant vet as he took the horses across, 7,000 horses, to Egypt,
mm-hmm,
for the Allied forces.
Yep.
To being a Boer War correspondent, to being a solicitor in Sydney for many, many years.
Yes.
Captain of the Australian, the New South Wales polo team, and captain of the New South Wales tennis team.
Wow, I didn't know that. I knew a lot of it, and I'm a bit of a banjo tragic myself. That was what brought us here, so I didn't realise that. Tennis as well.
Tennis, and he played a mean game of cricket as well, and golf.
Okay, all right, there you go. Well, we've obviously come to the right place to find out about Banjo Paterson, that's for sure, Alf. Now, tell us a little bit about the park that's directly opposite, because you've got several sculptors across there.
Yeah, when we started to promote Banjo Paterson in Yeovil, we ran a festival every year,
mm-hmm,
called the Mulga Bill Festival.
Yes.
And the Mulga Bill Festival ran once a year and attracted up to about 7,000 people.
Okay.
It was a long weekend, probably Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes.
And but the problem was it was only once a year.
Okay.
And that was when we decided we needed something to attract people every day of the year.
Yep.
So we started off cleaning up that park opposite, which was absolutely a tip when we started. It belongs to the Lands Department.
Right.
And we mowed it and we cleaned it up and we got several grants to level it, move the rocks about and do everything there. And then every time we did something in town that raised money to improve our community, which was what the festival did, build toilets, etc., plant trees, we always left something, and we left a sculpture.
Okay.
And we had that sculpture specially made for, you know, the new year, 2014, 2015,
2016,
etc.
And so on, yep. Alrighty. Now, you've obviously been a living in Yeovil for a little while to be the curator of the museum. Were you born here?
I'm not a local.
You're not a local?
No, I've only been here for about 36 years, 37 years. And the locals don't consider that to be a local.
So 37 years. How do you become a local in Yeovil?
Well, I've always said you either have to be born here,
okay,
or marry your cousin.
Okay, okay, marry your cousin. So what do the locals think about an answer like that?
Well, they're not very happy about it, but it is so true in Yeovil.
It's very humorous, Alf. You've got a great sense of humour, my friend. Now, one other thing, apart from it being a museum and an extremely interesting one, listeners, as I said, I was here a few years ago and spent 3 or 4 hours here and would have spent longer, but we just had to keep moving along. You've also got this great cafe called Clancy's. Tell us a little bit about the cafe.
Well, the cafe here, Clancy's Cafe, is purposely built in the front of the museum as part of it.
Right.
And people come, as you said, and they spend a bit of time and they might sit down and have a cup of coffee, then go back into the museum. And it's the cafe that generates the monies that pay the day-to-days on the museum, because you've charged people $3 or $5 to go into the museum. That doesn't pay for your electricity and your rates and your water, etc.
Okay.
So that's the purpose of that, and we keep everything very much to a minimum. You can buy a beautiful hamburger here for $5.
Which is, and we've just had a beautiful cappuccino and some lovely scones. And great quality of food, very, very affordable for the travel.
And that Devonshire tea would have cost $6.
Okay.
Mm,
so beautiful.
Good value.
Good value for money. And you've also got a great camping area down here, which is absolutely fantastic value for money. Tell us a little bit about that.
The camping area is run by the Show Society.
Right.
And it's a means of generating money for the Show Society. We were fortunate enough some years ago to get a grant to build the facilities down there, which are better than home.
Right.
And then people can come and they can stay for 1 day or 2 days or 5 days, whatever they like, and use it as their centre for travelling around, or just to spend an evening in Yeovil.
Yep.
And it's on the showground. It has power, very good toilets and showers, and is an ideal place for anyone to stay.
And how much is that now?
It's only $15 a night.
$15 a night.
Regardless of how many you have.
Okay. As long as you don't bring 12 kids and 18 dogs.
Well, we put a stop at the dogs to start with.
Okay, fair enough.
We don't mind people bringing dogs, but there is something on our website, I think, that says 3 days maximum.
Yep.
And that's to cover ourselves for people who bring 18 dogs and 3 motor cars and just make a nuisance to themselves.
And make a nuisance and decide they want to move in at $15 a night. Showers, hot water, great facilities. Tell us, lastly, that's this festival that you mentioned before, is that still running or no?
No, it's not. No.
It's been finished up.
It has finished up, and we are now running this.
Yes.
And we the Rotary Club in Orange started then running a festival called the Banjo Paterson Australian Poets Festival.
Ah, okay.
And it's run in February every year.
Okay.
Of course, we are one of the people that voluntarily help to run it. And we put on a function here every year.
Right.
During that festival. And we have a poetry day and a what we call a Banjo Paterson's brunch.
Okay.
We put on here every year in February.
Mm-hmm.
The Orange, being a much larger centre than us, are able to do more.
Okay.
And they run a very big children's program for teaching and educating children on poetry every year with guest poets.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time, Alf. It's been an absolute pleasure catching up with you. Yes, I'm going to ask you now, because we're just about to wind this one up. I've got to play you a song. Now, do you have a favourite Australian singer?
I certainly do.
Okay.
Are there more than one?
Oh, well, it depends who you ask. It depends. You definitely don't look like an AC/DC sort of a man, so who would be your favourite, Alf?
There is only one Australian singer, in my opinion, that produces absolutely magnificent music and magnificent lyrics, and that is Slim Dusty.
Slim Dusty, definitely one of the greats, that's for sure. So what about a favourite Slim song?
Walk a Country Mile.
Walk a Country Mile. Thank you so much, Alf, for taking the time to talk to us. It's been a pleasure for us to be here and for you to take some time with us. Absolutely great. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed for coming to Yeovil. It's been a pleasure having you.
All right. There you go, listeners. The town is called Yeovil. It's the Banjo Paterson Museum. Make sure you come and talk to Alf and Alf Cantrell. Now, it's only about an hour to Dubbo or Parks from here, so even if you don't want to stay in Yeovil, it's not that far to come just for a day trip.
An hour also to Orange.
Yes.
So it's really in the centre.
Okay.
And it is by far the nicest facilities in all of those areas.
Well, there you go, folks. You got it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Alf Cantrell, Banjo Paterson Museum. We're going to be back with more Roman Oz straight after that song, Walk a Country Mile.
Well, I've walked a mile or two in my lifetime, and I've traveled down some muddy tracks and dry. 'Cause if I wanted to get where I was going, I knew I'd just have to walk that country mile. Now a country mile would be the longest distance a man could ever travel when he's down. And you curse the never-ending road before you when you think you'll never make it into town. But you meet a friend or two along the highway, and you learn a lot you never knew before. And if the journey takes a lifetime when you thought a year or two, well, you just don't give up easy anymore. And I've walked a mile or two in my lifetime, and I've traveled down some muddy tracks and dry. 'Cause if I wanted to get where I was going, I knew I'd just have to walk that country mile. Walking that long mile has shown me changes, changes in the people and the land. But I'll bet the road to Marble Bar's no better than when I drove with trucks and caravans. And the country bloke is still the same old battler, no matter what the place he's working in. And although I've covered many miles, I still can't wait to see what the next country mile will bring. Well, I've walked a mile or two in my lifetime, and I've traveled down some muddy tracks and dry. 'Cause if I wanted to get where I was going, I knew I'd just have to walk that country mile. Yes, I knew I'd have to walk that country mile.
G'day listeners, Phil C here, and I'm going to tell you some of the incredible things that are available to do in Dubbo, okay? Now, most people think of Dubbo, and the first thing that immediately pops into head is Taronga Western Plains Zoo. Now, it's an absolutely fantastic place to go, okay? And I have been there myself a couple of times. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, you really get to see these animals up close and personal. There's no bars, there's no cages. And the way they've set it up, you can either hire a cart and drive around, or hire a bicycle, or take your own car and drive around. Absolute must for the family and the kids. Now, I'm going to tell you a bit about that in a moment. Now, we've also got the incredible Old Dubbo Jail, and I've been there as well. Absolutely brilliant place to go. A lot of history, a lot of heritage there. We've got the Japanese Garden. Now, I've not been to that one, but I will tell you a little bit about it. We've also got the Royal Flying Doctor Service Visitor Experience. There is the Dubbo Observatory for all those people that are interested in studying the stars. There's Red Earth Estate. Alrighty, and there's just so much to do, okay? Now, we've got the Dubbo Visitor Information Centre, which, of course, that's the place you've got to go if you want to find out all about these places. Now, there's the Western Plains Cultural Centre. There's the Arana Mall for anybody who wants to go shopping. You've got the Macquarie Regional Library if you just want to kick back and maybe read a book or just relax, you know, get out of the Dubbo heat. You've got the Lazy River Estate. You have the Macquarie River. There's the Riversdale Shopping Centre. Look, there is so many things to see and do in Dubbo. And if you think it's just Western Plains Zoo, I've got news for you, okay? Now, I am going to tell you all about one of my favourites there, apart from the zoo, of course. That is my most favourite. But what I'm going to tell you about now is the Old Dubbo Jail. For future reference, just a little bit about the jail, okay? Now, you get to explore the jail in your own time, or you can catch literally the characters in costume as they dare to outsmart the jail warden, okay? So, for some tall tales and performances by an animated wardens and prisoners, check out their tours and performances schedule. Now, the entertaining stories on prison life and their attempts to break out. Good behaviour is rewarded, so purchase your tickets in advance online and receive a 10% discount. Now, the jail is normally open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's closed on Christmas Day. Very, very reasonably priced, okay, the admissions. It's definitely a place not to be missed. So, a little bit more of it. Information about the jail. The Old Dubbo Jail is a heritage listed former jail and now a museum and tourist attraction. Okay, now it's located at 90 Macquarie Street, Dubbo, in the Dubbo Regional Council. And of course, Dubbo is in New South Wales. Everybody, of course, would know that. Now, the jail was designed by the New South Wales Colonial Architects Office, and it was built from 1847 to 1945 by James Atkinson Jr. Now, the jail is also known as the Dubbo Jail. The building was added to the New South Wales State Heritage Building Register on March of 2004. Now, the building was the second jail in Dubbo, replacing lockups built way back in the 1800s, 1847 to 1862. Now, when closed, the government New South Wales planned its demolition and replaced it with a multi-story office block. So the Old Dubbo Jail was erected on the site of the original courthouse. It's believed to have been officially opened back in 1887. Now, many of the buildings, however, were already in existence by this time, so many changes and new buildings followed. The surrounding walls also changed shape. Now, closed as a jail in 1966, I believe, the complex reopened as a tourist attraction in 1974. Now, back in 2015, the Old Dubbo Jail won a silver prize in the cultural tourism category of the 12th Travel Inland Tourism Awards. The jail was inducted into the Tourism Hall of Fame. Now, in August of 2016, the jail was closed to allow extensive restorations and renovations on the site. Now, the Old Dubbo Jail is a small, compact jail located within the central business district of Dubbo. So now the Old Dubbo Jail is a state heritage listed must-see attraction in Dubbo. It's remarkable. It's a complete and intact jail. Now, it's operated for 119 years, from 1847 to 1966. This set of 19th and 20th century jail buildings create an experience with bringing history to life. It's incredible. Now, the regional jail is a representative of powerful, surprising, dark moments in Australian prison history. The house importance collections, such as the largest collection of handmade ropes in Australia, and unforgettable experiences such as the eerie silence of the dark cells and the bird's eye view from the watchtower. With guided tours, night tours, and theatrical experiences on offer. And I've seen this, folks. The people that dress up in character and wander around the place really is something to see. Now, the old Dubbo Jail is a rare piece of history open to explore. Twilight and Beyond the Grave night tours run during New South Wales school holidays. Now, bookings for this one, folks, are most definitely essential. Oh, well, there you go, listeners. A little bit of information about the old Dubbo Jail. Now, stick around. I'm going to play you a song now made famous by John Williamson, okay? It's a track called Botany Bay, and it sort of describes all about the prisoners who came to this country, and a lot of them probably would have spent some time there in the good old Dubbo Jail. So stick around. We'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after this song, listeners.
Farewell to old England forever. Farewell to my rum culls as well. Farewell to the well-known Old Bailey, where I used for to cut such a swell. Singing, Tooralai, oorralai, addity. Singing, Tooralai, oorralai, ay. Singing, Tooralai, oorralai, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Tain't leaving old England we cares about. Tain't cause we misspells what we knows. But because we all light-fingered gentry hops about with a log on our toes. Singing, Tooralai, oorralai, addity. Singing, Tooralai, oorralai, ay. Singing to rely, oh rely, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Now the captain, as is our commander, the bosun and all the ship's crew, are the first and the second class passengers, knows what we poor convicts go through. Singing to rely, oh rely, addity. Singing to rely, oh rely, hey. Singing to rely, oh rely, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Oh, had I the wings of a turtle dove, I'd soar on my pinion so high. Slap bang to the arms of my Polly love, and in her sweet presence I'd die. Singing to rely, who rely, addity. Singing to rely, who rely, hey. Singing to rely, who rely, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. So come all you young dukies and duchesses, take warning from what I've to say. Mind all is your own as your touches is, or you'll find us in Botany Bay. Singing, Tooralai, oorralai, addity. Singing, Tooralai, oorralai, ay. Singing, Tooralai, oorralai, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Singing, Tooralai, oorralai, addity. Singing to rely, oh rely, ay. Singing to rely, oh rely, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay.
Oh, there you go, listeners. That was Johnny Williamson's Bound for Botany Bay. I'm just going to play you one more song now to wind this program up, and this is a good song by Graham Connors, a great Australian singer. The song is called The Ringer and the Princess, and it's from his Here and Now album.
Everybody called him Dingo. He didn't seem to mind the name. Aboriginal and Asian blood ran 50-50 in his veins. With skin like saddle leather, an inscrutable kind of smile, beneath the brim of his Akubra, he had the dreaming in his eyes. She had a bloodline back to Europe. The boss's daughter, Marianne. Home for Christmas at the station. From a boarding school in Cairns. With such a perfect face and figure, boys would blush when she walked by. Behind her back they called her princess, 'cause she had the distance in her eyes. Oh, the ringer and the princess, the dingo and the deer. I'll tell you their story if you want to hear. December rain fell with a vengeance from a cyclone in the Gulf. Bone-dried gullies turned to rivers, and plains became a sea of mud. So the boss brought everyone together, family and the station hands, to open gates and knock down fences and give the stock a fighting chance. Well, the princess, she was out there riding right alongside the men, leading horses up to safety, trying to bring the stragglers in. Till she heard a wild commotion a little further down the way. A mare was trying to cross a gully, and its foal was being washed away. Now the young have always been impulsive. Princess had no second thoughts. She rode her mount into that gully, trying to save the drowning horse. But in the midst of the raging waters, her pony lost its step and fell, and with her foot caught in the stirrup, princess disappeared as well. Dingo saw the whole thing happen, and like a man possessed, he rode straight into that swollen gully, about 100 yards below. By the time the others got there, all hope of finding her was gone. Till Dingo staggered from the water with the princess in his arms. Oh, the ringer and the princess, the dingo and the deer. I'll tell you this story if you want to hear. Now the princess owns the station. Her dad, the boss, has long since died. And although she never married, Dingo's always by her side. And still the gossips talk about them, even after all these years, about the ringer and the princess, the dingo and the deer, about the ringer and the princess, the dingo and the deer.
Hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more Roman Oz.